Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Hello, my sweet, sweet friends, and happy Friday. Thank you for your patience with this coming out late. I had it all recorded, all edited months ago, but my trip to the Dominican Republic got ahead of me. And when I wasn't socializing and networking and meeting people and hugging people and tanning, I was catching up on sleep and eating cheese. So here we are with today's episode. You guys know how much I love a woman-owned company. And if you've been around for a while, you know my vast interest in mushrooms, whether they're for medicinal purposes, functional medicine purposes, functional mushrooms, psilocybin, all kinds. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Alice Mushrooms, a woman-owned company co-founded by Charlotte Cruz, who we're talking with today. Blending the intelligence of functional mushrooms with the delight of chocolate treats like a modern-day Willy Wonka, Alice emerged from the desire to offer safe and effective consumables, providing long-term benefits alongside immediate cognitive boosts, a unique proposition not found in the pharmaceutical industry or traditional supplements. In our conversation with Charlotte, we explore the wide-ranging benefits of functional mushrooms for everyone. Delving into Charlotte's entrepreneurial journey, we uncover the adventures and experiences that uniquely positioned her for this venture, the challenges of starting a company, and the exciting plans for the future. Recorded in December, this conversation precedes the launch of their latest product, Happy Ending, a chocolate supporting intimate moments and long-term sexual wellness. Like their other products, it follows a now and later approach, offering fast-acting effects with herbal supplements and nootropics, complemented by the enduring benefits of functional mushrooms and adaptogens. To explore their offerings, use my code SUZY20, S-U-Z-Y-2-0, at checkout for an exclusive 20% discount on your first order. And then once you use your first order and you receive your first order, you have to tell me everything you experience. While Alice's products primarily showcase functional mushrooms, they share a passionate belief in the potential of psilocybin mushrooms to aid in healing trauma, managing stress, and just bringing joy. So Alice donates a portion of profits to the Hope Project and is a founding member of the Microdosing Collective, both nonprofits which advocate for access to psychedelic support and research. I know you're going to enjoy our episode today. If you follow me on social media, you know I've been sharing significantly more about how I support my health and wellness naturally and with the gifts that the earth has provided to us. Whether that be by eating beef liver every day, getting my feet in the earth and eyes in the morning sunlight, or meditating with my crystals, you guys always show curiosity and sometimes even do it along with me. But if you've really been following along, you know that I've been using and loving Young Living's essential oils for years to not only make my house smell yummy, but to manage my anxiety and depression, lift my spirits, fix bug bites, ground, manifest, detox my house, balance my hormones, aid in my digestion, you name it. Whether you're seeking a moment of tranquility after a busy day, needing assistance with arthritis, inflammation, chronic headaches, or even just need some assistance with soothing your new baby when you're at a loss, Young Living's essential oils are your answer, and I'm so confident in saying that.
These concentrated plant extracts have been used for centuries to promote well-being and balance in both body and mind, and Young Living's oils specifically go through strict third-party testing and must pass the highest quality standards before they're placed in your home. They are the only oils I trust to use in my home, on my body, and most importantly, around my baby. If you're new to essential oils, but thinking they might just be something that would support your health, I'd be so happy to make a wellness plan for you, chat with you through uses and benefits, and give you all of the extra perks that come with making a shift in your life. If you're a seasoned essential oil pro looking to switch to a high-quality brand with strong values and ethics, use the link in the show notes to shop around and use the code SHAREYL for an extra 10% off. Either way, slide into my DMs for extra perks, gifts, and money back before ordering. These oils will change your life, and I'm so grateful that I get to spend my days using the magic of plants to support my body in working optimally, as it was meant to. Click the link in my bio to explore all that Young Living has to offer and shoot me a DM if you want to get started. I would love nothing more than to be your new oily buddy. I love you. Now, back to the show.
Do you have siblings, first of all?
I do. Well, I'm my mom's only. Okay. So I kind of grew up an only child, but then I come from a very blended family. So I have step-siblings and half-siblings, and it's a whole hodgepodge.
So then what was that experience like growing up with all of the, I mean, when did this happen? Were you a little bit older? How often were you coming down to Florida to visit? That sounds like a fun childhood.
Yeah, I mean, Florida, so that was my mom's parents. So we when I was growing up, I actually lived in Washington, D.C. until I was nine. And my grandparents would spend their winters down in Delray. And then my mom and I would go down there because she was a single mother. And we were, you know, kind of go play house at my grandparents' place. And then that's when I was still an only child, too. So it was like girls hang all the time. And then my mom got remarried when I was nine. And my stepdad, they actually knew each other in high school. He came into D.C. for business, heard she was single, called her up. 6 months later, they're married. We're moving to Kentucky because that's where he is from, or that's where he works. And so, yeah, so we moved to Kentucky, and then he had three older kids. So I was nine. And then my stepbrother is the only one that I lived with. And he's 6 years older than me. So we like moved in together, and he was like, I was not banking on having a 9 year old girl running around like my bachelor pad with my dad. And, you know, so, like, and I was like, hi, like, can I please watch Disney Channel and steal the remote from you?
That's funny. Such a Brady Bunch moment with all the boys and then all the girls finally blending
together.
Totally.
It's like my stepdad and my stepbrother had moved into like a boy's crash pad. So like it was like this townhouse, and my brother had the attic room where like he definitely like smoked cigs out of the attic, you know, window. And it was like this total boys' place. And then my mom and I were like, hello, we're ladies from the city and we're moving in.
But are you, I mean, it ended up working out. Are you guys close now? I have no idea what it's like to have siblings.
Yeah, my stepbrother and I are super close. And my stepdad. So it's a great little unit.
I'm so glad your mom found that. So what is your mom like? I'm trying to get at how you got into holistic stuff, because I'm sure before Alice, there was a significant amount of exploring, period. And I'll let you fill in the blank.
Yeah,
there.
Totally. I mean, it's funny, you're like, it's not gonna be what you think. My parents are pretty like, I guess, straight edge. My mom,
I haven't heard that word in so long.
Yeah.
They're like, bring it back.
They're 71 years old. My mom, she was a journalist. So she worked in news and television news.
It's really cool.
For 30 years. That was her, like, she worked in one building basically her whole life.
Yeah.
And my stepdad's a lawyer. So like we're, you know, like pretty normal middle class people, right? I was like the opposite of holistic growing up. Like I had my order at McDonald's that I loved, and I only ate peanut butter sandwiches, and I was a very picky eater and was just like not really concerned about like health or holisticism at all. You know, I come from the South, so like we're always, you know, eating Southern food. And honestly, like I started experimenting more with like more holistic stuff when I got to college and my anxiety got really bad. And I was just like, I feel like I'm not living a healthy lifestyle and I feel like that's making my anxiety really terrible. Actually, my senior year of high school is kind of when I really dipped my toe in because I was on the soccer team for 12 years and finally my school had a no cut policy. And by senior year, I was benching JV like only because of a no cut policy. Like I'm that bad at soccer. I've been playing for 12 years. And I was just like, you know, like I was the class clown on the soccer team. Like I was there for like jokes on the bench, you know? And then I was like, I just like don't know if this is worth my time anymore. And so like right before the season started my senior year, I like called my coach to quit and she was just like, oh, okay. And it was still like,
aw.
She was like, you should really stay on the team. It was like, oh, bye. My senior year, I got really into yoga because my mom was like, you can't just like not move, you know?
Right.
Like you have to like at least have some type of physical exercise. So like to deal with all of just like the stress of college applications. And like, I was one of those freaks who applied to 17 colleges, just like, you know, I had to apply everywhere and have security. Coming up with my best friend.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. So I got really into yoga and that like fully changed things for me. And then in college, I kind of lost it, but like very much knew that that was where I needed to come back to. And then after college, like really went back onto my yoga journey. I did my teacher training in New York 4 or 5 years ago.
In what type of yoga?
A bit like a classic vinyasa, but with roots in Ashtanga.
Ooh.
My studio practice is a like Detroit style. So it's the...
I don't know what that is.
It's like, it comes from the caste lineage, but basically it's the... There's flow on your own. So like they'll guide you through three different kind of flows. You do them a couple times, get them in your body, and then you have like 3 to 5 minutes to take them and do what you want. And it's hot. I'm like very music driven.
Okay.
So that's what I loved. And like kind of just as I moved to New York and after college was like, I need to feel better and I need to like manage my anxiety in a way that feels like I'm managing my anxiety and not just ignoring it. So like wellness became really important to me and like all kind of rooted in yoga. And then I was working in media. Like I, you know, as my mother's daughter, I thought I wanted to be in journalism. Moved to DC for a year after college to work in journalism and was like, this is not it. Wanted to do more lifestyle creative stuff. And then finally got to a point after I did my yoga teacher training where I was like, okay, I pared things down to like the most fundamental thing, which is the breath, right? But like, I don't want to be a full-time teacher. I love teaching, but that's not what I wanted to do all day, every day. And I was like, what is the most like other fundamental thing that I can help improve in people's daily lives? And the answer was food. So I went back and got my master's in food studies at NYU and then started working on like early stage consumer food brands in the better for you wellness space.
After you graduated, first of all, so love that you decided that you found another passion and decided to go back to school for it. I think that's so badass. It sounds like you might be too. I love learning. Like school is my jam. I have it down to a science. And there was nothing that I loved more than sitting in a college classroom and just like theorizing with conversations with other kids in the class. I just loved expanding my worldview.
Yeah, I'm like the eternal student.
Yes. So I so admire you going back. I think that's so badass. But you went back and majored and graduated in what?
I got a master's in food studies.
Food studies. And then you said something else.
And then started working on early stage consumer food brands, kind of in the better for you space.
So what is, I don't know what that means. That's fancy words.
Like I started basically just like food startups. That's a fancy way of saying food startups.
Okay. That were healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The first one I worked on was a like organic on-demand meal kit service in New York, which think of it like Seamless meets Blue Apron meets... Okay. All organic, locally sourced, like fancy food, which is great. But like we didn't have a grasp on the overhead and like the overarching business model. So it was like one of those things where like the 6 months that we did that was like going to business school in terms of like failing fast, learning a lot. So that lasted about 6 months.
I'm sure you learned a ton that you pull on now.
Yeah, a lot. And like, honestly, the biggest thing that I learned is that like, quote unquote, failing is okay. Like I had been on a very serious trajectory my whole life where like, I always get straight A's. I get into the good college. I get a job. I like, you know, I don't mess up was like very much part of my identity, you know, and having a business that failed was like a serious moment for me, but in a really good way, because people don't judge you the way you judge yourself. And it takes like having a big moment like that to realize that other people don't judge you that way. And it made me feel like more confident than ever. And honestly, like, is what allowed me personally to start Alice, because that fear had already been taken out of me.
Yes. That's what I was going to say, is when you are faced with your biggest fear, not related at all, but I'm recovering from an eating disorder. And when I got pregnant, like I relapsed the night before I found out that I got pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I know that I'm in for a ton of weight gain. And I was, because my mom also gained 50 pounds. I gained 60. So I faced my worst fear.
Yeah.
And through that and after that, then I felt so much liberation, because I realized, one, I did it and I made it through and it wasn't that bad. And two, I had so much more of an appreciation of my body and what it could do.
Yeah.
Once I lost the extra baby weight. So failure in your biggest fear together is so powerful for personal growth and magnetism.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's such a gift. Like
it is.
I wish that everyone, I mean, like, I don't wish the discomfort of it, but like the growth that you get from failing at the thing you're most scared to fail at is unmatched.
And I'm sure it propelled you so much farther with your professionalism and with your relationship with self and with self-discovery. So what came after this?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, literally I had, you know, we closed this. It was awful. You know, I'm dealing with all these things. And then, but like pretty quickly I was like, oh, like the world's still turning. I didn't die. Like I still can pay my rent. Like, you know, I was lucky in that my husband, you know, we're a dual income household. So we were able to like, you know, weather it. But then I also was like, oh, it's really easy for me to interview and no one's holding this against me. And it just like everything that I thought I would be like written off as actually became an asset. And so it took so much fear, like I said, out to the point where I was like, okay, like I'm down to just start another business. And I don't know if I would have been able to have the courage to do that if I didn't know that like I could fail at it and that would be okay.
Was the next natural step Alice?
Yeah. So
she came so quick.
She came very quickly. Literally like we closed this business in August and then I met Lindsay in September. And we started working together in October. And so
we're missing, I'm sure you're gonna get there, but we're missing a very important part of this, which is how you came to understand mushrooms.
Mushrooms like came to me, I think. Like I didn't come to mushrooms, if that makes sense.
Of course it makes sense. It's so spiritual. It's right up my alley.
Yeah. So I like I said, I was the world's pickiest eater for a long time. I also am a control freak. So I was like, as it related to culinary mushrooms, I was like not down. As it related to psychedelics, I was like very scared. And then functional mushrooms are kind of like a new space that I think a lot of people were still trying to figure out.
Yes.
So when I started working on the meal kit company, that's when I got really into culinary mushrooms, because I was like, oh, I've never really experimented with these things before. I haven't been a picky eater in like 10 years, but I had just never, you know, been like, I want to cook with mushrooms or whatever it is. And I got really close with our mushroom growers in the city and just was like, the mushrooms they were giving us, they're so beautiful. They're so amazing. And it just kind of was like, oh, like I'm obsessed with these things and they taste so good. And what else can they do? Kind of around that time as well, I had my first experience with psychedelic mushrooms, which we love.
Talk about later.
Yeah, which we love. And so my world was kind of like cracked open from that. And then we like literally I was looking for what to do after we closed the first business. And, you know, I got connected with my now business partner, Lindsay, like through a loose mutual friend between the two of us, like not someone either of us know very well at all. But we had both kind of like networked with, and he was like, I think I'm going to put you two on a text thread. Like this could work. She lives in LA. I live in New York. Like it's COVID and we just like immediately hit it off. And Lindsay's background is in pharmaceuticals.
Perfect.
So she'd been in pharma for a long time and was like, I hate this and I need to get out of this. And she was looking for natural alternatives to a lot of the things that, you know, she was seeing be prescribed Band-Aid solutions for, not yep. solutions, just Band-Aids were in pharmaceuticals. Right. So she got really into mushrooms and she, you know, realized what, like I had also independently realized what we initially bonded over is that every mushroom supplement on the market right now, and like not as much right now, but particularly when we started, was like a powder, a pill, a tincture. Yes. And those don't taste good. And like, guess what they remind you of? Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we take the pharma out of the delivery method and make this something that's like enjoyable and fun and that people can look forward to? Because functional mushrooms are already this thing that people are skeptical about. They don't really know much about. And if you're giving someone like a gross tasting powder and handing them a chore, or, you know, telling them this bitter tincture they have to put under their tongue for 10 seconds or whatever it is, like, that's not the way you're going to get people excited and like want to learn more about functional mushrooms. So Lindsay and I also like just very, we like to indulge and like, we're not really down to do anything that like is uncomfortable or like we don't want to do. So I was like, okay, how can we make this nice? That's when Lindsay started just like in her kitchen, formulating, like going to Trader Joe's and buying dark chocolate, melting it down, like ordering, you know, like magnesium and reishi from bulksupplements.com and like putting it in the chocolate and like seeing what worked. And she brought in a homeopathic doctor to help her. And then
amazing.
Like kind of around that time is when we met, because she was like, I think this can be something. And then the two of us met and like really hit it off, worked across the country, like didn't meet for 3 months. And then we're like, okay, yeah, we'll start this business together. So it was all just like divine timing, I think.
Yeah.
Is the short answer to your question.
Were you primed to be starting another business? Was that on your radar when you guys met?
Yeah. I mean, that's always been what I've wanted to do. Like, I've always wanted to have my own business and start my own business. And I think, like, I was ready to do that. I mean, I had... The first year that we were building Alice, I also was consulting for some other brands. It's scary to start your own thing because you only have you to bet on. Like there were other, you know, companies that I could have worked with or that wanted me to work with them that, you know, they already had funding and they were established and blah, blah, blah. But it was like, I don't know. We just were like, we're going to bet on ourselves. And we did it.
She was the one that was doing all of the kind of experimentation in her own kitchen, which I think is dope as hell. I wonder maybe if that was a little bit difficult in the beginning working together. Was it?
Yeah.
Or were you both like on the same train?
We were very like on the same train, I think.
Okay.
I mean, like we definitely will like disagree about little things, but big picture, we're like right there. Like we see it, we want to get there, and we want to get there now.
Getting into like a little bit more of the nitty gritty. One, I must know the coming up with, how did we come up with the name Alice Mushrooms? What was the brainstorm sesh like?
So that Lindsay already had that. So like it literally, I think, came to Lindsay right when she wanted to start the business. It was like, it's going to be Alice, because Lindsay's favorite movie book story growing up was Alice in Wonderland. And we didn't like, we've always been very firm in that this brand isn't like an Alice in Wonderland brand, but the name Alice is because we're inspired by her curiosity and her like willingness to sit with the unknown and her just like, yeah, her curious personality and the way that she carries herself and just like looks at the world.
And so we wanted to bring that into this brand, particularly because there's so much that's unknown with mushrooms.
Yeah.
And it's like we want people to bring that idea of curiosity and that, you know, wanting to learn more about mushrooms, but also knowing that like it's okay, we don't know everything yet. And like embracing these mysteries of the world in a way that is exciting and also trusting.
That gave me goosebumps. Wonderful explanation. And also great for your marketing and branding. I think I know what functional mushrooms are. Years ago, I was taking like scoops of lion's mane, cordyceps, another one, and putting them in some milk and making my little mushroom lattes. And then other people may only be familiar with our psilocybin buddies. So can you explain what exactly functional mushrooms are and how they're different from the ones that expand our consciousness?
Yes. So functional mushrooms are a specific class of mushrooms. So the easiest way to explain this is like this bucket explanation. So on one side, you have this bucket that is culinary mushrooms. And then on the other side is your psychedelic mushrooms. And then somewhere in the middle sit functional mushrooms. So functional mushrooms don't have the compound psilocybin in them that psychedelic mushrooms have. And that compound psilocybin is what induces a psychedelic experience. So that isn't present in functional mushrooms. So it's like literally chemically impossible for you to have a psychedelic experience from a functional mushroom. It's not part of it. It'd be like, you know, it'd be like thinking that you're going to trip from a shiitake mushroom. It's not a possibility. It's very different. Functional mushrooms, though, so they don't have psilocybin in them, but they do have really profound medicinal benefits that are more than what you'll get from just like a healthy, again, let's use the shiitake mushroom, right? Like the shiitake mushroom is great for you. It's similar, you know, nutritional benefits to like eating a vegetable or eating generally healthy. And there's a lot that it can do for you and you should be eating them, but it's not going to change you in a medicinal way. And it's not going to be able to have like profound long-term effects on your body or your brain. So that's what functional mushrooms have. So you can think of them like a class of supplements. So every functional mushroom does something different. That's what's so exciting about them. There's about 11 or 12 that we've discovered. There's like thousands of undiscovered mushroom species in the world. So
we're really at the beginning of this.
We're very much at the beginning. Who knows what other ones we might find. But the ones that we use, which we love, are cordyceps, reishi, and lion's mane. And reishi, like, this is a great one to explain because reishi is known as the mother mushroom. And that's because it's been used for so long, kind of like because it can do a lot of things. Like, reishi is amazing for liver health, detoxification. And the reason that we love it is also great for immunity. And the reason that we love it is because it helps downregulate your nervous system and promote healthy sleep cycles. So it works like an adaptogen. If you're familiar with ashwagandha, you can kind of compare it to something similar to that. It is just incredible. So, you know, you want to take a functional mushroom. And this is the key about functional mushrooms also, is they don't work instantly. So people get pretty confused in the functional mushroom space a lot because they're like, oh, it's a mushroom that can change something for me. That makes me think of psychedelics. Those work instantly. If I take this functional mushroom, then the thought process goes like, I should feel de-stressed right now. And that's not how functional mushrooms work. They function like adaptogens. So you have to take a medicinal dose daily for about 3 weeks to allow the compounds to build up in your body and start making those changes. And so that's like our product. Lindsay and I, again, we like to treat ourselves. We also like instant gratification. And so we formulated our chocolates to have the functional mushrooms, but then also have fast-acting nootropics and herbal supplements. So you can get an instant gratification that motivates you to come back and get the long-term benefits of the mushrooms.
Smart. You guys, innovative. Yeah. So what other, first of all, what on earth is a nootropic?
Yeah. So nootropics, it's basically a fancy word for a supplement that is really good for your brain.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a brain supplement. So can nourish your brain, help make you feel smarter, more focused, work harder.
So then you also said that you also add herbs into those chocolates.
Yeah.
Can you tell me which ones are in there?
Yes. So in our Brainstorm Chocolate, we use lion's mane and cordyceps, which lion's mane is mushroom of the mind, cordyceps, mushroom of the body. So lion's mane helps you. It's like a classic nootropic. It can break the blood-brain barrier and directly nourish your brain cells to help connect new neural pathways and like literally regrow brain cells.
And then cordyceps helps
increase blood oxygen levels. So it helps your body use oxygen more efficiently and promote better energy levels. Like a lot of athletes use it. So in our energy chocolate, like those are the two powerhouse mushrooms. But then we also have guarana, which is a caffeinated berry native to Brazil that kind of gives you this like instant boost that feels though like very, like I can't have caffeine coffee. I get really jittery and scared. And this is like perfect. You just feel like you've been, like your brain's turned on. And then we also have phosphatidylserine, which is another great nootropic. That's a fatty acid that directly goes in and nourishes your brain cells. And that one you can feel right away. Just like almost makes you just feel like, oh, like the way I describe it is like after I've taken a Brainstorm, I'm funnier. Like my jokes are better because I'm
Okay. Like not like the wittier, jokes.
Quicker.
The witty jokes. Like you have to really be listening and you also have to be like a little bit more educated to get them.
Yeah, and you're just like on it. Like you're firing on all cylinders.
And you feel this as soon as like soon after you have one.
Yeah, within like 10 to 30 minutes.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That is really cool. Which one was the one that you said helps create new neural pathways?
Lion's mane.
Are you at all interested in manifestation?
You know, I say no, but I think I actually am.
So if we're working with a mushroom like this that is really good at helping us to create new neural pathways, would you suggest that that would be a really good mushroom to use when we might be journaling or working through therapy or self-personal growth and development?
Totally. Yeah. Anything that requires your brain, use lion's mane to help you.
Like if you like that cheat.
Yeah. Like if you're trying to work through a problem, if you're trying to be more self-aware, if you're about to go on a road trip or you have to drive for 6 hours and you want to be alert, like you know, if you're going to play sports, like we have a lot of people who take Brainstorm for like playing tennis or hockey or like anything and their like performance is way better. So there's, I mean, anything that requires your brain, which is like basically anything.
Everything, it sounds like. But then adaptogens are a very big deal when it comes to your products.
Yeah.
Can you explain that for the layperson?
Yeah, exactly. So an adaptogen is a supplement or a plant or whatever you want to call it that makes your body able to adapt better. So it's like the secret's kind of in the name. The idea is that it just helps you find that level of homeostasis. And so if you're taking an adaptogen that is for stress management, like it's going to just help you come closer to that place where you're flying in an even keel. So it's eliminating those high highs and low lows and keeping you just steady. So there are different adaptogens for different things like stress or whatever it is that just help you stay at a steady state. And adaptogens are one of those other things that you have to take every day because they don't, you know, if you take an adaptogen once, it's not going to do anything for you. You need to take it daily and you need to, you know, take a medicinal dose daily for an extended period of time. So like reishi is a classic adaptogen and lion's mane works in that way as well. And that it, you need time for it to start working.
Other than brain function and adaptogenic properties, can you explain all of the other health benefits that can come with these functional mushrooms? Earlier, you were mentioning liver detox.
Yeah. Yeah. So reishi, like it can do so many things. So reishi, yeah, it helps with liver detoxification. It helps boost your overall immunity levels. And then it also helps with your stress regulation. So there's a lot that reishi is used for. Cordyceps, I kind of touched on this, but a lot of athletes use it because by a byproduct of increasing your blood oxygen levels is that you can train for harder and longer. So like there have been studies that show that it increases time to exhaustion. So that essentially means you can go for longer. And you can perform for longer. That also is something that benefits sexual health and wellness. So cordyceps is great, yeah, for your sex life as well. And then, because it's just like it gives your body like vitality is the word I mostly associate with cordyceps. Yeah. So take that into whatever context of your life you want to take that into, and it works. And then lion's mane, you know, we're talking about all these things with the brain, but there's really interesting studies going on with lion's mane right now as it relates to Alzheimer's and neurodegeneration because of lion's mane's ability to cross the blood-brain barrier, nourish your brain cells, and keep you sharp. You know, obviously, everything is still being tested, like not making any medical claims, but there are studies going on that are looking really promising as it relates to like aging brains and lion's mane. And we see that a lot, like a lot of our customers are older and it's people who want to protect their brain health and stay sharper and keep themselves with it and on it. And it's been really exciting for us to like hear a lot of really amazing feedback from our customers about how it's helping them feel better and sharper and on it as they age.
So when it comes to your products specifically, for the average person, they're like, gung-ho, I'm ready to start my natural holistic journey, or at least journey into mushrooms.
Yeah.
Are we recommending daily use of your chocolate?
Yes, absolutely. Because that's really where it comes down to. All of these mushrooms you have to take daily for them to work. And you need to take them for at least 3 weeks to start feeling the effects. So our products are designed as a daily bite. And like that's where it all comes back to chocolate. Right? Like we wanted to give you something that you can look forward to every day and that doesn't feel like a chore and feels like a treat, because it is a treat for your body. And so it should feel like you're indulging in a treat for yourself. So each of our tins come with 16 doses.
Okay.
So the idea is like we want people to subscribe to 2 tins a month. That's enough,
okay. You
know, for a single dose every day for about a month and keep that routine going. And I mean, some people like to take, like I'll take 2 nightcaps. Sleep one at night because I'm notoriously hard to put down. And then some people like to take 2 brainstorm. That's too much for me, but some people really like it. But yeah, the idea is you're taking it every day.
And those are the 2 that you have?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, are there plans for more different kinds?
There sure are.
Are there any hints that we can be given, or are we still in the early stages?
We have one coming out in mid-January.
Soon!
Very soon. And the hint I'll give you is vitality.
Can I get into a fun conversation now?
Yes.
I need to know about your psychedelic experience.
Yeah. I mean, for me, this is something that Lindsay and I talk about a lot, is I've never like gone to like a retreat center and done like a very serious, intentional healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my love of mushrooms is like very much more about like being present with people I care about and laughing and like just kind of looking at the world with a sense of awe and wonder. And that's something that I love and I think can just like take you out of your everyday patterns. So that's like always been my preferred way to use mushrooms. And it's something that like my husband and I love. And I think there's something that's really special. Like a lot of people in my life have gone on journeys. It's on my list of things to do and like something that I really want to do. But I think there's also something really special and something we don't necessarily talk about as a society as it relates to psychedelics right now, which is the element of like fun and joy. Because I think as we move forward in this legalization and regulation conversation, it's very important that we acknowledge the like incredible medicinal benefits of both microdosing and macrodosing. But then there's this white space in the middle that gets left, which is like just finding a little joy with the people you love and having some fun and kind of just like disconnecting for a little bit. And I think we're so quick to do that with alcohol or with all of these other things. And like doing it with mushrooms is actually very, to me, like wholesome.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And so it's something that like, you know, you struggle to find the best way to talk about it because you don't want to set the movement back, but you also want to like not let people forget about this like very simple element that is joy and having fun and being present and laughing.
So I am like a very spiritual person. I've been for a long time the kind of person that like wants to go somewhere with a shaman, have a retreat, have a spiritual experience, find myself.
Yeah.
Ego, death, all the
right
words that are surrounded by that. And also, as I've been learning more about mushrooms that aren't just the functional mushrooms and aren't just like macro dosing, heroic dosing, these things, I've been learning that through micro dosing, it might be a good, healthier, holistic, and pure way for me to try to manage my anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And get off of my meds for that.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to a couple of friends about this who are in states where it is legal.
Yeah.
And who do microdose and do experience just that, where it's a little bit lighter, it's a little bit more present, a little bit more mindful, and just an overall more joyful experience, which slowly doing that over and over helps their anxiety decrease because they're having those types of experiences. Do you have any input or research or knowledge on those types of mushrooms and microdosing when it comes to mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are very strong advocates for microdosing. I mean, there's a lot of research around how microdosing can replace an SSRI. I think that's something that's really, really powerful and interesting. And also, it's not a long-term solution. Like, you're not, you know, people are on SSRIs for 10, 20, 30 years, right? And microdosing is meant to be more of, in, like, at least in what I've read, a shorter-term solution. You have days on, you have days off, and all of that stuff. But, like, anything that we can do that feels a little bit, I mean, I think it's up to anyone and everyone. I've been on SSRIs. You know, it's like they've very much helped me, and I know they've helped so many other people. And I think it's anything that you can do to feel good is like I'm a major proponent of. But we are part of the Microdosing Collective, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. It's the first nonprofit in the U.S. dedicated to the advancement of legislation and research around microdose amounts of psilocybin. So it's a group of, you know, entrepreneurs and people who are lawyers and scientists and lobbyists and just generally people really passionate about this. And so we've been doing a study on like microdosing as it relates to cluster headaches and collecting a lot of data around that and really using that to advance this conversation around microdosing, because there are so many things that it can be incredibly beneficial for. And I think something that I like to come back to as well, which I think, you know, really rounds out my thoughts on this conversation, which is that like psychedelics can be incredibly helpful for people who are struggling. Like, we also, a portion of every sale goes to the Hope Project, which is another nonprofit that we support that provides psychedelic healing journeys for wives of veterans and women who've served in the military, because they're often like a very traumatized population that is not served.
Yeah,
there's no VA for the spouses, right? Also, like, women need a very different environment than men. And a lot of psychedelic healing right now is like very masculine. That's something we're really passionate about, and like getting help for people who really need it. But then there's also this train of thought, which is like psychedelics can also improve the existence of people who are already well. And I think that's a really interesting conversation to have as well.
Part of my huge interest in mushrooms and microdosing is, one, I've heard that it is incredibly beneficial for new mothers experiencing postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Which luckily I did not experience because I went on my SSRIs before I gave birth. But my ultimate goal is, I was telling my APRN, is to have a home apothecary with herbs and tinctures that I've made from my own garden and essentially be a medicine woman witch and not be on any pharmaceuticals, because I don't want to be tied to that and a slave to that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so in my journey to that goal, obviously seeking out different ways that I can manage this, I started wondering, what role can microdosing play in early motherhood or motherhood in general? And I've heard that the benefits are profound, not just for early motherhood when it comes to depression or anxiety, but also the presence and mindfulness that a mother can feel while they're interacting with their child, while they are microdosing, that is profound. Is there anything that you can say to speak on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I feel like this is becoming a really big topic. We were actually just on a segment in ABC News that was like mom's microdosing.
You go, girl.
No, it's fun. They came into our chocolate factory with us and we were kind of like the, you know, like where mushrooms are right now. But they interviewed a lot of really amazing mothers who have been incredibly helped by microdosing. And like, I am not a mother. Lindsay's not a mother. We can't speak like personally about that. But I think it makes a lot of sense. And from what I've heard from mothers who do use it, it's a really powerful tool. It's like, I think so many people associate mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, psilocybin, as like with other substances that they're incorrectly lumped in with as checking out. And I think it's really the opposite, right? Like it's really checking in. And so I think from what I've heard from mothers who have had a lot of help with it is they're just way more present with their kids. And something that psilocybin actually does in your brain is it decreases the activity in your default mode network, which is kind of like a very large part of the brain. And it helps connect new neural pathways. So it basically helps you feel more malleable and more open to new ideas. And the way that that kind of translates is you have more awe and wonder for the world, and you're able to see things almost like you're seeing them for the first time, which when you think about that is childlike. So you're able to then, in theory, again, I don't have kids, so I can't speak to this, but in theory, it's like you're able to have that sense of wonder that your child has and like bond with them in a level that is really profound.
I'm getting really emotional hearing you speak about that. Can you imagine the children we would raise if we had mothers who obviously all doing the best that they can, but have tools that allow them to better get on the level of their children during these formative years when they're taking in the world and in a state of wonder constantly and experiencing that with them.
Right.
I don't know if I was reading an article. Oh, I was reading something about Montessori and how we as mothers will see our child like pick up a marker and throw it down. And our instinct is to be like, don't do that. Just leave the marker here. But in actuality, it's a child experiencing cause and effect at their own hands for the first time, and they're fascinated and they're not doing anything wrong. But because we're not in that state of wonder and it's so integrated into us already, we don't understand. We're on different levels. So how could we change the world through one child, one parent-child relationship at a time when we can raise them with that wonder and in a way that celebrates and integrates into daily routines, that type of wonder. I just blacked out. I don't really know what I said, but hopefully it makes sense.
I think so much of that speaks to as well as we age, and this is like the very common metaphor used for your neural pathways, which basically just means an ingrained way of thinking that you have. As we get older, it's like, think of it like you're going down. I don't ski, but this metaphor still makes sense to me. You're going down a mountain and you have these, and you've gone down on your skis on the snowy mountain in the same pattern every time. And so every time you go down the mountain in that ski path, your skis make a larger indent into the snow. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you created these like really deep ski marks in the snow and you can't go down the mountain any other way. And we do this in like every aspect of our life. It's the way we get up in the morning and immediately walk to the bathroom, or we get up and we always take this street when we're walking to this location and we always turn left at that light or whatever it is. And a lot of these things are important. Routine helps us automate our lives and like not fret about every single decision we make, but also it gets us stuck in a lot of ways. So helping us break out of that is so important. And that's actually like what my yoga studio is about as well, is like finding new ways of movement and like constantly keeping your brain engaged and tricking your brain into like actually having to work and create new patterns and switching things up. Because like that's also how we stay young, and that's how your brain stays healthy. Like your brain needs that type of stimulation. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, that is not healthy for your brain. And so you can think of it like, I thought of that when you said the marker thing.
because we're so ingrained to be like, don't drop the marker again. Like, that's annoying. No, I'm staying in my path, and my path is don't drop the marker. When there's a way of like, if you can break out of that, it's like, oh, why are they dropping the marker? That's interesting. Like, can I talk to them about that? And like, you know, taking your skis off a little bit of a different path, but still getting to the bottom of the mountain.
What is the future of Alice Mushrooms looking like?
Yeah. So the future of Alice is bright. We're planning to launch new products every year, new feelings, new core chocolates. We have a launch coming up in mid-January, and then there may be another one in 2024, if not early 2025. And then we really are excited about using our chocolates as ingredients. So think like, what if we made a chocolate chip cookie, or what if we made a granola bar, or, you know, different ways that we can give people an entry point into functional mushrooms and our chocolate, and making it easier for people to indulge and enjoy what we're making. And then we also just want to like be in everyone's corner store. We're, you know, retail is like, online has been really special for us, but we really want to come out and like reach people where they're going every day. Expect to see us in a lot of your grocery stores and corner shops and
Vegas. That would be splendid. Can we get a discount code for my listeners?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, dope as hell.
Okay, Susie20.
Susie20
for 20% off.
At the end of all my podcasts, I like to ask my guests 500 questions. Some of them are related to you personally. Some of them are fun. Some of them are about the topic. Tell me about your reaction when you found out that Alice was going to be covered by Goop.
That was the biggest one for me. I remember it so vividly. The day that was published, because you never know if something's going to be published like beforehand. It just like, they just put it up and then they're like, hi, we did this. And you're like, oh my gosh. And that one was big for me. I will say this loud and proud. I love Gwyneth Paltrow. I get a lot of shade for that, but like, I love Goop. I think it's just, I know that it's crazy, but like, it's fun and aspirational and I love it.
Is it crazy? I haven't dove in as much as
run some ads. Like, we have Goop on our, like, one of our highlights on our Instagram page. And, like, the shade we get on those posts where people are, like, not buying this because I saw this article, like, hate this, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, get over it. Like,
yeah, you're not our target audience anyway, if that's your that's your attitude.
Yeah, but I remember so vividly when that got published because Lindsay and I were, last winter, we launched in October. And for holidays, like, we thought that we were ready to meet the demand and things just took off really quickly. And our manufacturing facility, they had it like they were overstaffed or they were understaffed because it was the holidays. And that's the busiest time of year for chocolate. And they were like, we don't have time to package and meet this demand. So Lindsay and I had to fly out to our manufacturing facility in Colorado and go hand pack like thousands of tins. And I remember we were like in the room packing them when we got the Goop hit and we were like screaming. We were so excited.
And I'm sure that, I mean, just off the record or on the record, that was so exciting and probably gave a huge boost to the business.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger boosts that a press hit has given us, which was awesome.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I'm so proud of you. That's a big deal. You're living the dream. How would you describe your home decor style?
I think my husband and I always want a place to feel like lived in. Like, I love something that is, you know, like, I look at all of the Instagram design inspo accounts, whatever, but I don't love something that feels like an Airbnb, you know, like that lane of mid-sen mod is not what I like. Like, I want my house to feel cozy, like it has personality, like it's lived in, but also very soothing. We have like our whole apartment is bookshelves and it's just like books everywhere, which I love.
What's your favorite book?
Ooh, the best book I've read in a long time. Well, my favorite book is The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Okay.
It's all about trees. And then the other favorite book I've read since that was Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Okay, that keeps showing up on my Goodreads.
It's unbelievable. One of the best things I've read since I read The Overstory.
Holy moly. Am I going to cry?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I read it on my husband and I both read it on our honeymoon and we both cried.
What, like, what a wonderful event to read such a book.
I'm like, I love this trip.
The most important lesson you've learned about leadership?
Being very down to admit when you don't know something.
I've never ran a company, but I did run a classroom for 5 years. And what took the most pressure off of me and gained the most respect from my students was when I did not pretend to know what I was talking about. And I just said, I don't know, let's learn together.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I think the humility is such an important trait in a leader, to admit, to admit fault, to admit wrong.
Do it all the time.
What is your go-to crowd-pleasing meal or snack that you make?
Two things. Dessert is olive oil cake. And then I love cooking for people. It was just my birthday and I invited 16 people over for dinner and cooked for everyone. As like my birthday present to myself to spend the day in the kitchen. And I made olive oil cake as the cake. And then my other crowd pleaser that I always do on group trips is a old family chili recipe.
Oh. Mm-hmm. A family chili recipe.
Family chili recipe.
So it's got some secret ingredients in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Last question. Party or stay at home?
Ooh, it depends on the day.
Okay. I'm definitely the stay at home in bed by 8:30 type, but I still have friends that are like going to raves.
Yeah.
Just like doing the damn thing.
When you live in New York, You want both.
Well, there's so much cool stuff going. Like, there's not a lot of cool events happening in South Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm not by Miami, but I imagine in New York, there's like so many cool pop-ups and like events and businesses opening up that are doing like really cool,
I don't know,
rooftop things.
Yeah. I mean, I'm tired a lot, but like I give myself one, you know, late night, like once a month.
Oh,
that's
manageable. Yeah.
Exactly.
Splendid. Well, thank you for talking to me. This was really enlightening. And
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I think that what you're doing is amazing. I'm so proud of you for starting a business. That's a big deal. That is a daunting task. And the success that you have seen is, I hope that you regularly acknowledge it and pat yourself on the back for it, because it is a big deal.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Suzie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the woo-woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.